Welcome now to the midday for a Monday. I'm Norman Gilliland. Madison Opera is performing one of the great comic operas, The Barber of, maybe the greatest, The Barber of Seville by Rossini on Friday, April 24th and Sunday, April 26th at Overture Hall. And one of the, well, great roles for a heroine in such an opera is that of Rossina, and we have her with us for the midday today. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And this is Emily Fons. Have you sung this role many times before?
I have not. This is actually both my role and company debut with the Madison Opera. I'm thrilled to be here. Of course, the music is very familiar to me, and I've sung excerpts from the opera many times in concert and performance, but this is my first big chance to perform this great role.
Well, we'll be hearing some excerpts from a performance of it in a minute or two, but what kind of role is this? Comic opera, what do you have to do to make Rossina come alive?
Well, I think anyone who's sung any Rossini makes the joke about being, we wish we were paid by the note, because there are millions of them, it seems. So I think something, the great fun of Rossina is the playfulness written into the music and all those notes that you do get to sing and the freedom you have to ornament within that. And of course, then when you get with your colleagues and castmates, organizing your comic timing is essential, and the rehearsal process is a lot of fun. It's a lot of work because comedy, I think, across the board is more work than anything else.
That's true, because, you know, with a tragedy, you wouldn't necessarily, you know, have the audience burst into tears, but with comedy, if they don't laugh, you're dying.
We got a problem,
yeah.
Then.
You know right away.
Exactly, you do. And there's nothing quite like opening night when you hear that first laugh. If you're backstage waiting, you know, you hear it come through the speakers, or you're out on the stage and you hear it, that kind of sets things off on the right track.
A little sigh of relief.
Big sigh, yeah.
Opera had some issues, didn't it, for its opening night?
Not so well received opening night, which, you know, had to do with many factors that were possibly outside the realm of just the music and text itself. The premiere was kind of had a note of contention with a Paisiello's opera being...
Right. He had said it back in 1782, and the opera was so partisan back then. I don't know if it's true now, but back, you know, 200 years ago, it was like people would practice, they'd break out into fights over my composer or your composer
of
this opera.
It was more like a sporting event,
yeah,
I think,
yeah,
than what we consider a modern-day music-going experience, for sure.
That's true. Opera actually is the most athletic of classical music forms, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I would definitely say so. I think sometimes not only for the performers on stage, but for everybody behind the scenes, all the moving of the set.
Yeah, right.
And of course, especially in Rossini for the orchestra, if you keep an eye on those first violins, I don't think you'll see them stop moving much.
Well, about the role of Rossini, then, what is this aria we're about to hear reveal about her character and her and the person singing the part?
The first time you really catch a good glimpse of Rossina on stage is with her big aria, Una voce poco fa. And what she's singing about in this aria is that she's been watching Lindoro from her balcony, and just a little while ago finally heard his voice and looked down and saw him. And it created these emotions and these feelings in her. She's just absolutely overcome. And so the first part of the aria is her cavatina about how overcome she is by these emotions for Lindoro, who we know later is actually Count Almaviva.
Oh, yes, it's got to be a disguise if it's going to be a
Oh, there's many, many disguises in this opera. And the cabaletta, the faster part of the aria, is her kind of vow to do whatever it takes to win Lindoro against all odds and against any obstacle set up for her by her guardian, Bartolo.
Who also kind of has some intentions for her.
He has intentions for her, but partly also related to her substantial dowry that
the unworthy,
on the line.
Unworthy would-be suitors. So this is, let's see, this is Agnes Balza, I believe.
Yes, one of the great interpreters of mezzo-soprano repertoire, for sure.
Una voce poco fa.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
one of the most famous opera arias, Una voce poco fa. That's Rossini's aria in The Barber of Seville. And that particular Rossini was Agnes Balza. We have with us Emily Fons, who's singing the part with the Madison Opera in their two performances of it on April 24th and 26th, coming soon. It seemed like there was a lot of demands placed on the voice there in terms of the kind of 0 to 60 at the beginning, you know, the very fast getting into mm-hmm. it, and then the dynamic range shifts so quickly in that aria.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that, as a mezzo-soprano, we both love and hate Rossini for. We love the opportunity to explore our range and the facility of the voice, because as a mezzo-soprano, other than Handel, there's not always a lot of that. You know, especially as a young lyric mezzo-soprano, there's a lot of, you know, page boys to go around, but a real chance to explore that range and flexibility is pretty unique. And I think something that people love about Rossini is that everyone has a different take on it. And it's something that performers love too, where, you know, what you just heard from Agnes Balza was, in my opinion, a pretty pared down version of Una Voce Poco Fa, not too much ornamentation. Mm-hmm. But you go to YouTube and click on Joyce DiDonato, you'll hear something completely different. And, you know, those things change, you know, over the decades and things like that too, what people prefer and interpretation. But, I find it incredibly exciting to take on a role like this.
So where do you go with an aria like that?
You know, I'd like to find myself somewhere in the middle. You know, there's that
famous... It's very Midwestern of you.
Yeah, exactly. And there's that Rossini quote about, you know, he heard one of his arias performed and he said, well, that's great. Who wrote it? You know, because the person took so many liberties. So, you know, I think that I like to pay homage to what's on the page first and foremost. And, you know, the shape of the aria is that way for a reason. That's what Rossini wanted. But I think within that, there's places to go and things to explore. And I like to catch people off guard and throw a few new things in there every once in a while, too.
Well, this is an aria that's one of the most famous arias in all of opera. You don't get to sing it.
No, I don't.
Let me back up. What is it that makes this sound so difficult? Is it just because it's so fast and there's so much going on? Is it as difficult as it sounds, I guess I should ask?
Well, I'm not sure it's fair for me to comment mm-hmm. on that. You might want to ask my colleague who has to sing it. There's definitely a lot of text, but I think the pressure in this aria is because it's so well known, and Figaro, you want to love him immediately. It has to show so many sides of the character in such a quick snapshot, and it's not like he's had an act to warm up his voice.
Oh, that's
you know,
true.
He's
yeah,
been
he's
backstage,
right
kind of
this.
Sitting there, you know, and then has to jump out and sing this famous aria and win everybody's hearts immediately. You know, and I guess I've never asked a native Italian speaker what challenges they find in it, you know, but definitely as a native English speaker, I think that there's, you know, also the demands of the quick patter-like text and things like that. But all of that is what makes it so much fun and I think what makes people love it so much.
It's called the Largo al Factotum. And is this essentially Figaro complaining about being at everybody's beck and call?
Complaining, but I think he's pretty proud.
That's a good combination. And here, this is Thomas Allen. That most famous, perhaps of all, opera arias, the Largo al Factotum as Figaro, as sung by Thomas Allen. And it came to us in that version from a performance by the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields with Sir Neville Mariner conducting. And the Rossini that we heard earlier was Agnes Balza in that performance of The Barber of Seville. We have Rossini with us here in the form of Emily Fons, who is performing with the Madison Opera April 24th and 26th at Overture Center for the Arts. And what about the comic elements of this in terms of how you play it? Is it a very physically comic opera?
I think it's incredibly physically comic. There's not only is it mentally comic, I mean, the characters, I think the audience loves seeing them get in and out of trouble all the time. So there's, you know, there's lots of glances here, glances there, and, you know, it matters who's looking where, when, and things like that. But there's a fair amount of running around, too, which in theory all seems great until you get into, you know, a big dress and a corset. But yeah, there's definitely a slapstick element to a lot of it. You know, anytime you have a prop ladder involved, yeah, well, you kind of know where that's going.
Key to the plot, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
So what kind of physical training does a person do for that kind of opera, where it's not just the singing, but the athleticism required just for the stage part of it.
The movement, too, yeah. Well, honestly, and this might differ singer to singer, but I think sometimes when you have so many notes and the music has so much movement in it, I think it's actually pretty useful to have physical movement paired with it. It kind of frees up your body.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of my take on it. But I think, you know, these days, across the board, opera performers are expected to bring a certain amount of physical fitness to the table when they show up. Things are changing a little bit in that way. And, you know, I think yesterday, I think 3/4 of the cast said they went for a run in the morning.
So, is that right?
You know, maybe we're all in training a little bit, too.
And are there, so other than the pieces that we've heard, are there highlights for you of the opera, things that you really look for? I really, as you know, maybe you're backstage and you're saying, oh, I really want to hear this part.
Oh, definitely. I personally love the music lesson scene in Act Two. It's another aria that Rosina gets to sing. And the Count at that point has disguised himself as a music tutor. And what I find so funny...
Gets around, doesn't he?
He does. He's a man of many, many faces.
Many parts.
But in that scene, the aria is kind of half directed to Lindoro, who's sitting at the harpsichord, and half directed to Bartolo, who's falling asleep in his chair. And I love that scene. And also, of course, the kind of final attempted escape scene after the thunderstorm.
Sure.
The
Speaking
trio,
of ladders.
The Titi Piano Piano. It's just, you know, it's. We laugh every time we rehearse it because, you know, you look at somebody and they're making such a silly face back at you or something. And there's just a lot of joy in that music. And I think that's something that our director, Doug, has really tried to bring out, is that it's easy as performers to know where these characters' stories are going. Because, of course, we have the Mozart opera, the Marriage of Figaro for reference, and the Beaumarchais plays. And so we know where they're headed, and it can be hard to not telegraph that to the audience because the audience doesn't need to know, and the characters themselves at this point don't know. They have only what they have. They have the moment. So I think to stay in the moment and really enjoy what Rossini's given us for these characters at this moment in time, it's important.
How does an opera performer... singer primarily learn the acting part of it? Was that usually, you know, taught along with singing the roles, or do you come by that separately typically?
Well, I think in most training programs, starting as far back as college, it's recognized nowadays that that's a pretty essential part of being a well-rounded performer, is having pretty good acting chops. And I think in a comic opera like this, there's no way to do without it. And when you get a good group of colleagues and a good cast together, you can really feed off each other and you know.
Well, especially with comedy, I would think.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, Emily Fons, it's something to be looked forward to, your role as Rosina in The Barber of Seville, the masterpiece by, let's see, he was all of... about 24 when he wrote it, Rossini.
Yikes.
Yikes. Well, talk about youthful energy and enthusiasm, though. He certainly had it.
He did.
Well, pleasure meeting you, and break a leg.
Thanks so much for having me.